God is a good God. Amen. Amen. Like Denise said, we're going to minister on healing this morning. But before I do that, I'm going to tell you what I was going to minister on. You know, during this season, it's always a rough time, especially for those that have recently lost loved ones, or even have been a few years ago. I was talking to a lady who lost her son about 4 years ago, and I asked her how she's doing. And the first thing she said, you know, Craig, it's a difficult time. You know, during our busyness, during our Christmas season, we need to think about other people who are having a more difficult time than we are. You know, I know if you look at the statistics, the number of suicides between Thanksgiving and New Year's is huge. You know, people have a tough time. And so sometimes we need to be more mindful of people all around about us. You know, as we're just shopping or whatever, you know, be mindful that there's people out there that are going through tough times. And so that was what I was going to minister on. But I just want to, I was talking to someone the other day, and, you know, my wife has been going under the weather, and someone says, well, join the club. Everybody's sick. And, you know, everyone's coughing. And I noticed as I've been out shopping or whatever, I've heard a lot of people coughing and hacking. And I get it. It's a kind of a change of weather. And Oklahoma's pretty crazy. You know, it's 50 degrees one day, it's 19 the next, and things like that. You know, change of seasons, kind of a normal thing. But a lot of times that when flu season or whatever comes, we just kind of accept, oh, yeah, everyone's sick, so I'm just going to be sick too. Now, you know, your mom always said, if everyone jumps off a cliff, you're going to jump off too. But a lot of times too, we might not say we're going to be sick, but one of the first things that we do, we don't think about, I'm not saying we, all of us, but a lot of folks don't think about, hey, when I'm not feeling good, let me ask the Lord to touch my body. It was like, well, give me the DayQuil. Or give me this, or give me that. But you know, I was thinking about this. Our Savior took stripes on his back. And 1 Peter 2:24 says, by his stripes, we were healed. Now, were is past tense. All right. And I've said it many, many times. Do you realize that Jesus could have died on the cross and we still would have went to heaven? But he did the extra, like dad dogs call it, extra. He did the extra thing. He took stripes on his back. And it, according to the word, it's his stripes that healed us. But I'm thinking, as you hear people hacking and coughing and going through all that kind of things, you know, why should we suffer with that when Jesus already suffered for us? Now, many people, you know, when prophecy happens, we think, well, if prophecy didn't come forth, you know, in a few months, it must be wrong. Well, Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus died on the cross, give or take a few years, 700 years before Jesus died on the cross, Isaiah 53, 4 and 5 says this, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Now, whenever you go through a situation where you start, here's the thing, don't wait till you're on your back and you can barely move before you ask God to help you. You know, a lot of times, you know, when you get that first little sniffle, that's when you say, oh, no, you don't, devil. Now, that's something my grandfather would always do. You know, as soon as it starts, you put a stop to it before it's a full-blown flu. Now, I'm just going to admit my stupidity. Of course, you know, I will say this. I was only a kid, all right? So, for a number of years growing up as a child, that during when everyone would get sick and become flu season, I would say to myself, well, I always get the flu one time a year. And guess what? Every year I got the flu one time a year, about this time. I never got the flu any other time except for this time of year because I said I'm going to get the flu this time of year and everyone else gets the flu. You know, a lot of times though, maybe I said it, but a lot of times we don't say it with our mouth, but we think it in our head. You know, there are a lot of times that we think things, but we don't say them out loud, but we're like, you know, it's okay to be sick. Everybody else is. No, it's not. Jesus Christ suffered and died so we don't have to have the flu. Amen. And, you know, I guess, you know, some people say, well, you know, it's just a small thing. It's not like I have cancer or anything. I only have the flu. Well, you know, the flu can also turn into, you know, a cough and a hack and pneumonia and this and that and all these kind of things. You know, but why don't we stop it whenever it starts? Now, I will say, you know, as a kid, it was kind of nice to miss school, you know, got to watch The Price is Right. Then, you know, got great afternoon TV like Jerry Springer, you know, People's Court. You know, then go, move on to, I miss the soap operas because I don't really care about those things. But, you know, then I'll go on to Oprah and Dr. Phil, you know. But after about 3 days, you know, it's kind of boring. I don't care about those shows anymore, except for The Price is Right. I love The Price is Right. My grandmother Tipton, that was like her favorite show. In fact, I mean, anytime you stayed over her house, we had to watch The Price is Right. I mean, she loved that. In fact, one time I'm like, I'm going to take you to California and try to get you on the show. She goes, no, I don't want to do that. I'm like, you sit here and watch the show every day and you name all the prices and things like that. So anyway, but when I was about 12 or 13, it hit me one day, you know, because I've been in church all my life. And, you know, I was listening and I'm thinking, you know what? I don't have to have the flu once a year. Is there a reason I have the flu once a year? Because I say I get the flu once a year. And you know, when those flu symptoms would come, I wouldn't reject them. I wouldn't try to do anything about it. I wouldn't ask the Lord. And you know what? A lot of times we're in that same boat. Now, like you said, we might not physically say it, but we don't do anything except for cough and hack and complain. I mean, you know, complaining is not asking for healing. And here's the thing. It's not asking for healing because you already have been healed by faith. And then I started thinking, you know, how easy we have it. I mean, think about it. Because Jesus Christ died upon the cross, because he arose from the dead, because he was the right hand of the Father, because we accept him as our Lord and Savior, we have it so much easier. We don't have to find him. All we have to do is call him and ask him. The Bible says you have not because you asked, and ask what you will and it shall be done. Whatever you ask him in his name, he's going to do it for us. But a lot of times we never ask anything. But I want you to turn today to Luke chapter 5, Luke the fifth chapter. And I'm going to, it's interesting because you know what? They didn't have it as easy as we did in the Gospels. Luke chapter 5, starting with verse 17, says, "Now it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching," talking about Jesus, "there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them." Now I want you to notice the word them. Them is plural. The power of God was in that room to heal everyone who was sick. All right, but we're going to only read about one guy who got healed. Now, here's the thing. You know, you realize that same power is here today. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. His power is still present. He might not be present physically, but his power is still present. And we have it so much easier. We don't have to look for Jesus. We don't have to find Jesus. He's already found us. It goes on to say, "Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said to him, 'Man, your sins are forgiven you.' And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, 'Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?' But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, 'Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins,' he said to the man who was paralyzed, 'I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go home.' And immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, 'We have seen strange things today.'" You know, sometimes we read things like that, we clap about it. And we don't get the point. The point is when the power of God is present to heal people, jump on in and get healed. And I don't care if what you have is a small sickness or a big sickness. It doesn't matter what you have. The same power to heal a cold is the same power to heal cancer. The same power to heal asthma is the same power to heal whatever you might be going through. It doesn't matter what you're going through. The point of the matter is that Jesus Christ is here and his power is here to heal every single one of us. Now, you know, a lot of times I wish that we would have the same kind of faith that these men had, because it wasn't just this one man on the bed, because he couldn't get to Jesus. He couldn't walk. But praise God, he had four friends. And these four friends loved this man enough that they were going to do whatever it took to get him before Jesus. You know, he couldn't reach Jesus on his own, but his crowd, you know, his friends would not let the crowd or even a roof stop them. They tore through the ceiling. Now, here's the thing, you know, obviously this is faith in action. Literally, you know, they believed that Jesus had the power to heal them, and they acted on their belief, but their persistence shows, you know, their faith. I mean, here's the thing. I mean, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but it didn't say these guys all had backpacks and were all prepared to go to the roof. Now, I don't know. Have you ever moved somebody? Here's the thing. If you move into an apartment building on the third floor, I'm not helping you move. I don't want to carry your couch with nobody on it. So you realize that these guys, you know, carried a man to the roof, and I don't know that they had any supplies. It's not like, hey, we're going to go to Lowe's and get a ladder. You know, or, oh, they don't have ladders, well, we'll find a pulley system. Of course, you know, many of you probably watched the show MacGyver. Anyone remember MacGyver? You know, well, I got a match stick and some string. Surely we can do it. You know, MacGyver, like, took nothing and figured some way out. But, you know, here's the deal. It wasn't easy to get the guy on the roof. And just because the guy, you know, was paralytic didn't mean he didn't have bones. Do you realize you're going to be a whole lot worse off if they drop you two stories or whatever? You know, oops. We'll try again. Jesus can heal you. He can heal that. Don't worry about it. I know you're a little worse off than you were to start with, but Jesus will take care of it. Let's just get him. You know, so, I mean, these guys had, I mean, this was persistence. Number one, I hope I have four friends like that, that they're willing to do whatever it takes. I actually preached a sermon a number of years ago called Who Would Drive Your White Bronco? Many of you realize I'm referring to O.J. Simpson. Al Cowlings drove his white. And actually, if you Google white Bronco, you're going to pull that up. White Broncos, you know. Now, here's the thing. I don't know. Does anyone remember that Bronco chase that we all watched? You know, the O.J. Simpson saga, whatever. Do you realize that Al Cowlings could go to jail by driving O.J. Simpson on a chase, and they actually look like they're going toward Mexico, you know, and there was all kinds of police following, all kinds of helicopters, things like that. Google it, you know, for some of you guys that are younger, have no clue what I'm talking about. But the point is, he was willing to take a risk, just like these four guys. I mean, they're willing to do whatever, because not only that, you know, after they got to the roof, they ripped the guy's roof apart. I don't know if you ever heard of a thing called lawsuits. I'm here to tell you, if you climb on someone's roof tonight or today and just start tearing a hole in it, there's going to be something to pay for that. Either you're going to pay to fix it, or you're going to spend some time in the county jail, and you know, then some judge is going to order you fix the thing. I mean, it's not. You realize after, I don't know where the four guys went, but as soon as this guy got healed, he walked out the back door. The four guys have already split. We're getting out of here before the owner sees us. And here's the thing, you know, the guy who owned the house, do you know where he sits? Front row, right by Jesus, right, probably right between Jesus and the guy coming from the ceiling. You know, I'm like, I just wonder, what was the guy who owned the house thinking when he sees this guy coming from the ceiling? And how did they not stop the people from ripping the roof off whenever they, didn't they not hear the noise on top of the roof? Like, you know, oh yeah, Santa Claus came early this year, I guess. I don't know what's going on. I mean, I don't know. Have you ever thought about that? I mean, it wasn't easy to get this guy to the roof. It wasn't easy to let him. And then where did they have the rope to let the guy down? Where'd all this stuff come from? It wasn't like they all, brought their backpacks and stuff, said, we're prepared because we get there, we know it's going to be full. Now, here's the 21st century Christian. We wouldn't even show up at a church that's going to be full. I'll just go home. I remember, one time we had service. We had a overflow section where we could watch it by closed circuit TV. This is before things were streaming and things like that. So you either watched it here or you didn't watch it at all. And they're like, no, I don't want to sit in another room. I'm just going to go home and miss out. They didn't say miss out. But these guys weren't going to miss out. They were determined that this guy was going to walk, he was going to be healed. Whatever it took, it didn't matter what we had to do. It didn't matter that, like I said, I don't want to move you if you live on the third floor. I mean, these guys had to carry this guy on top of the roof and do all these kind of things. And then I think about what they went through, and I think about us. When we already, I'm sure most of you already know that Jesus Christ took the stripes on the back, and by his stripes you were healed. But whenever we start sniffling and get sick, we don't do anything about it. I mean, we have it so easy. We have it so easy compared to these guys. But you know what? They weren't going to let anything stop them because the power was present to heal them. All of them. But we only see in this context that only one guy got healed. And not only, he got healed like a miracle. I mean, he got condemned for walking. He walked out the back door. And all I'm saying is, oh, we've seen strange things today. I mean, I don't know about you, but if I was in that room, I'd been jumping up and said, well, I need healing. I need healing. Now, I don't know if they were afraid because the UC's people were there. You know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and other UC's people, they were all there and they were questioning Jesus. But you know what? Don't let anything stop you from getting your healing. I mean, some people say, well, healing's not for us today. Well, everybody's sick. You know, you can just grin and bear it. No, I don't care if everyone's sick. I mean, I do care if everyone's sick, but I don't care what they say. You know, Jesus Christ came that we might be healed. And our first thought shouldn't be, I'm going to go to Walgreens, and get me some cough drops and some other stuff and some, I call them snot rags. You probably call them Kleenex. I want to get the kind with lotion because I'm going to be blowing my nose a lot. And that's our first thought. Our first thought said, you know what? I'm going to get rid of this and I'm not going to need snot rags and I'm not going to need this. I'm not going to need that because I'm going to take my healing. Amen. You know, and like I said, most of you probably don't say it out loud, but we thinking, now I'm thinking another individual who went through a lot to get his healing was a man named Blind Bartimaeus, and that's over in Mark chapter 10, Mark the 10th chapter. Mark the 10th chapter, the 46th verse says this, and they came to Jericho as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. So this man, Bartimaeus, he couldn't see Jesus. There were a multitude of people around Jesus. He couldn't see him. The only thing that he had was his voice. And so he used the only thing he had was his voice. And basically when he said, Jesus, son of David, he was saying, Jesus, help me. Help me, Jesus. That's what he was saying. Because you know what? He was sick and tired of being sick and tired. He didn't want to be blind anymore. I'm sure he must have heard testimonies how other people had got healed under Jesus' ministry. And he wasn't going to let Jesus pass him by without getting his healing. Amen. He was willing to do whatever it took. And then many people around him said, you know, Bart, shut up. First of all, you're hurting my ears because you're screaming in my ear. Secondly, Jesus isn't going to hear you. And if he does, he doesn't care about you. So just be quiet here. Here's 20 bucks. Because this, you know, what he did for a living is he was a beggar. So you know what? You realize, you know, when there's a lot of people, that's a good time to beg. Do you realize if people are trying to beg money, you know, they go to places where more people are, so that way. And then the people who hang around Jesus tend to be, you know, more nicer, more, you know, whatever. So I'm assuming that you, well, I'm not assuming, I know. Do you realize that Bart had a choice? He could either keep screaming or he could start collecting money. You know, because what if Jesus never heard him and now he has to live with these people tomorrow? Because Jesus ain't coming through his town tomorrow, and these people here, these are the ones who support him. He had no other support except for people, you know, want to bless him, whatever. So, you know, it doesn't really go real well to tick people off that might support you. I mean, you know, if you're a person that depends on other people to support you, you don't want to tick them off. But so I basically said, here's the thing. Bart had plan A and plan B. Plan A was get to Jesus, get healed. Plan B was to stop and beg. Here's the thing. With faith, there is never a plan B. There's only a plan A. Whatever your plan B is, that's where your faith really is. That's where your faith is. Do you believe that he is going to heal you or not? Now, what it says, instead of Bart getting quieter, he got louder. Jesus, help me. Now, how much easier we have? We don't have to, you know, if you want to holler for Jesus, that's fine, but he can hear you without you hollering. We don't have to take anybody off or whatever. But anyway, it's interesting. I love what it says in verse 49. So remember, we think sometimes that Jesus was actually preaching. No, he was leaving the town. He was leaving Jericho. So he was walking. Probably not real fast because there's a lot of people around about him. But I love it because it says right here, it says verse 49, so Jesus stood still. See, whenever Jesus heard the call of faith, he stood at attention, ready to help. You know what? He's standing right now at attention, ready to help you in your situation. But I love this, you know, it doesn't say this in your Bible, but Jesus stood still and he called these words out. He says, Bart, come on down. I told you like the Price is Right, all right? So, you know. He didn't say you're going to get a new car, but he said, come on down. You're going to get healed. And so, you know, here's the thing. It says that Bart, casting away his garment, he came to Jesus. That's real important because his garment signified that he was a lowly old beggar. So whenever he threw his garment aside, he says, you know what? Old things are passed away. All things have become new. I'm no longer going to be a lowly old beggar. I no longer need this garment. And he went to Jesus. The only problem is that Bart cannot see. Doesn't say a seeing eye dog. I don't see anywhere a seeing eye dog. He didn't probably even have one of those canes. There's a multitude of people around Jesus. How in the world Bart's going to get to Jesus? You know how he got to Jesus? The guy that was screaming at Bart a few minutes ago to shut up grabbed him by the hand. His name is Steve. I know you never read about Steve in the Bible, but he's there. Steve grabbed Bart's hand. They marched in front of Jesus, and they got there, and Steve told Jesus, Jesus, man, I just told Bart a few minutes ago. I said, keep crying louder. If you get louder, he's going to hear you. I said, did that really happen? I don't know if it happened or not. But you know, that's how people are. I mean, you know, 1 minute they're against you, next minute they're all for you whenever it's important. I mean, you know, he had one opportunity to talk to Jesus. Anyway, they got there in front of Jesus, and I'm sure that Bart was probably ready for the saliva to fly out of Jesus' mouth, because that's what, you know, we read them. If you read the Testament, you know, one time Jesus spit on the ground, made clay, the spittle put in the guy's eyes. Another time he spit on the guy's eyes. So Bart's probably thinking that. No, whenever he got in front of Jesus, they said this. He says, and Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? What do you mean, what do you want me to do for you? I mean, isn't it pretty obvious that Jesus, that Bart was, you know, blind? But it is interesting. It says this, you know, sometimes the Bible says we have not because we ask not. Just ask him what you need. Now, it is interesting here is that whenever Bart said, he said, the blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. So Jesus actually never touched him. Never touched him, didn't spit on him. He said, go your way. Do you realize that? Because most people said, you know, probably as he touched him, said, be healed. No, he didn't. Jesus has said, go your way. He says, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. He didn't say my healing power, so it was your faith. It's your faith that unlocks the healing power of God. And it says, and immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on your road. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's your faith that unlocks your healing power. It's your faith that unlocks healing power of God. I'm going to give you an example. You know, most of you, probably all of you, probably have running water at your house. If you don't, you should. All right? As long as you paid the water bill, and as long as your faucet works, all right, you know, there's some caveats there. You paid the water bill, the faucet works. If you turn on the knob or pull up the knob or whatever, that's how you get water, right? Well, you know what? The healing power of God's like water that flows. All right? I'm like the faucet. I'm the conduit that God's using this morning to heal you. You know what you are? You're the knob. Your faith is the knob. You unlock your healing by flipping the knob on, by either turning it on, flipping it on, or whatever. And that's the same way. You need to expect. See, when Bart came to Jesus, he expected to receive his sight. He wasn't hoping and praying, well, maybe I'm going to see, maybe I'm not going to see. When they let that man down the roof, he expected to be healed. Why? Because the healing power of God was present to heal everyone in that room. And that same healing power of God is present today, and I don't care what kind of sickness or disease you might have or you might have had. Because the Bible says that that by his stripes we were healed. Not we're going to get healed, we've already been healed. Well, how do we receive the healing power that already belongs to us? Through our faith. Let's all stand up. If you're here in this room this morning and you need healing in your body and you expect to receive your healing, I want you to come down here right now and we want to lay hands upon you. God has given me a supernatural healing anointing. My grandfather says it was three times his anointing. In his latter years, many times that he would line people up and have me minister to the sick. We've heard testimony after testimony. But the thing is that you have to believe that you're going to leave this place healed. Whether you feel like it or not. This morning, the healing power of God is going to flow into your body from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, driving out that Satan is wrought. Now, you know, at that point in time, we're not moved by what we feel. We know the healing power of God's working within us. Amen. Before we minister to you, if you're watching on your device or wherever you might be, I want to pray for each and every one of you. Just stretch your hands out toward me. Father God, we just thank you right now for those that are watching online that need healing in their body. Father God, there is no distance in the spirit. We thank you, Father, as we pray for them. We thank you, Father, that the power of God is touching their body from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. We thank you, Father, in advance for testimonies that we shall hear and that we shall see in the name of Jesus. We just thank you for it now in the name of Jesus. There are people all around that is receiving their healing. Amen. Amen. You watching online, you got healed, just send us an email. What is it? testimony@rhema.org. Just send us an email and let us know that you were healed. Amen. You that are down here, I want you to get ready. I want you to think about two things. Jesus Christ and your healing. Jesus Christ and your healing. Jesus Christ and your healing. Father God, we just thank you right now. For each and every person that's here, we thank you, Father, as we lay hands upon them. We thank you that the healing power of God will flow into their bodies to drive out that as Satan is wrought. Father God, we just thank you in advance for testimonies that we shall hear and that we shall see. No more flu, no more cancer in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, right now that these fine people are activating their faith in the name of Jesus. We just thank you for it. Hallelujah. We're going to start right here, and we're going to go this way. Hallelujah. In the name of, that's it right there. That's it right there. In the name, that's it right there. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name, that's it right there. Receive your healing now. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Receive your healing. In the name of Jesus. Receive your, that's it, that's it, that's it. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Receive your healing now. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Amen. Stretch your hands out toward these prayer cloths. These cloths represent people. Father God, we just thank you right now. We thank you right now for the healing power of God flowing in these cloths, Father. We thank you, Father, as these cloths are laid upon the sick, that that power of God will flow into their body from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, driving out that of Satan's rod. And we thank you, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus. We command his stomach to be well in the name of Jesus. Mental and emotional issues, you have to leave now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father, right now that these cancerous tumors right now have to leave now in the name of Jesus. Touch this knee and this leg. And Father God, we just thank you right now that you'll just touch this complete body. Hallelujah. And cancer, you have to go now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, right now for these conditions in this body. Father, right now we thank you that they have to leave in the name of Jesus. Shoulder pain. Shoulder, you have to be healed in Jesus' name. And eyes be well. We thank you, Father, right now on this one too, that their eyes are well. And whatever they're going through, Father, their grief they're going through, Father, we thank you that you'll just touch them mentally, emotionally, and always in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. God is a good God. Amen. Amen. Now remember, the devil's a liar. He's going to try to tell you, well, you're not healed. You don't feel like you're healed. I don't care what you feel like. I want you to know, if you came down here, the healing power of God's working in your body to affect a healing and a cure. I don't care if you wake up and you don't feel any difference. It's not how you feel. It's what you know. You know that healing power of God is working. Amen. I just want to encourage you, whether you're here or whether you're watching online, if you have a testimony, let us know. Share it. Testimony@rhema.org. Amen. Amen. Well, you first-time visitors, we're glad to have you today. If you're a first-time visitor, Connection Team is in the aisle. They want to take you back to the north lobby to give you some stuff we have for you. Amen. Pastors are headed to the doors. You can kind of see on the screen where we're going to be. Praise God. Don't forget tonight, 6 p.m., another wonderful service. You don't want to miss it. Amen. And if you haven't checked out the Christmas lights, you need to check the Christmas lights out, man. They're just better this year than they were last year. Amen? Amen. I want you to turn around, shake hands with someone, say, I'm healed, and you guys are dismissed.
You said it. You said it.